Okay, welcome. I think we can hear each other. Before I start, I've just found out that next Thursday I have to be in Lausanne in the afternoon, and so I won't be able to do this. Now, either we find somebody at the foundation to step in, or we have to skip it. We'll find out in due time. Anyway, we go on. We are Bloom, who is usually neglected here in this fantasy, is famous, is king and emperor and everything, and pope, things like that. So this is wish fulfillment. This is the one drive that is ambition, success. The other one is guilt and downfall and things like that. Now we're in the middle of Bloom is still very successful with the court of conscience. Then we hear it.
The court of conscience is now open. His Most Catholic Majesty will now administer open air justice, free medical and legal advice, solution of Dublin's and other problems, all cordially invited. Given at this, our loyal city of Dublin in the year one of the paradisiacal era.
Paddy Leonard.
What am I to do about me rates and taxes?
Bloom. Pay them, my friend.
Paddy Leonard. Thank you.
Nosey Flynn.
Can I raise a mortgage on my fire insurance?
Bloom, obdurately. Sirs, take notice that by the law of torts, you are bound over in your own recognizances for 6 months in the sum of £5. J.J. O'Molloy.
A Daniel, did I say? Nay, a Peter O'Brien.
Nosey Flynn.
Where do I draw the £5?
Pisser Burke. For bladder trouble. Bloom.
Acid nit, hydrochlor dil, 20 minims. Tinct mix fum, 4 minims. Extract Tyraxel, leg, 30 minims. Aquitis carindiae.
Chris Callanan. What is the parallax of the subsolar ecliptic of Aldebaran? Bloom. Pleased to hear from you, Chris. K2. Joe Hines. Why aren't you in uniform? Bloom. When my progenitor of sainted memory wore the uniform of the Austrian despot in a dank prison, where was yours?
Ben Dollard. Pansies.
Bloom. Embellish, beautify suburban gardens. Ben Dollard.
When twins arrive.
Bloom. Father, pater, dad, starts thinking.
Larry O'Rourke. An 8-day license for my new premises. You remember me, Sir Leo, when you were in number 7? I'm sending round a dozen estelle for the missus.
Bloom, coldly. You have the advantage of me. Lady Bloom accepts no presents. Crofton.
This is indeed a festivity.
Bloom, solemnly. You call it a festivity, I call it a sacrament. Alexander Keyes. Where will we have our own house of teas?
Court of Conscience is a kind of local court now. It's now open. His Most Catholic Majesty, Catholic probably in the sense of all-embracing the whole world universal, will now administer open-air justice. To administer justice is like a doctor administering something. Free medical and legal advice, solution of doubles and other problems. All court invited, given at this our loyal city of Dublin in the year one of the paradisiacal era. That's a new time will begin. Paddy Leonard, these are all people we met before. I know. What am I to do about my rates and taxes? Bloom, pay them, my friend. Paddy Leonard, thank you. Nosey Flynn, who turned up in Barnickians, can I raise a mortgage on my fire insurance? That's a legal problem, and it's answered in legal terms, obdurately, in a hard kind of way. Sir, take notice that by the law of torts, you're bound over in your own recognizances for 6 months in the sum of £5. That's legal jargon, of course. J.J. O'Molloy, that's the lawyer who's fallen hard times. Daniel, did I say? This is from The Merchant of Venice, when you have to pay back things. Nay, Peter O'Brien was a local judge of some reputation. Nosey Flynn, where do I draw the £5? And then Pisser Burke, that he's the informant in the Cyclops chapter, and he's called Pisser Burke for some reason, and he asks about the recipe for bladder trouble, understandably. And Bloom's answer is in terms of chemists, like the chemist he was at where he got the soap. And it would mean something like, not that we have to know, but it's good. dilute nitric and hydrochloric acid, 20 drops. Tinct mix with the bitters, 4 drops. Extract of dandelion, and then 3 times a day. So it's a recipe, and it brings us back to the chemist where Bloom was earlier and bought it. So Chris Carrion asked
a
question. What is the parallax of the subsolar ecliptic of Aldebaran, which is one of the stars? And Bloom, pleased to hear from you, Chris. K11 was the advertisement for trousers that he saw in the river earlier on. Why these links are is not always easy to follow. Joe Hines, the journalist who owes Bloom money. Why aren't you in uniform? And Bloom, when my progenitor of sainted memory wore the uniform of the Austrian despot in a dank prison, where was yours? So this has to do, I think, with the World War, when they often say, what did you do in the World War? Did you join the troops or not? And here, there's some kind of thing that somebody spent time in a prison in Austria. Austria is where Joyce lived for 10 years. Then Donald Pansies, the flowers. Bloom embellished, beautified suburban gardens. Then Donald, the singer, says, when twins arrive. I don't know why. Bloom, father, partner, dad, start thinking. Larry O'Rourke, that's a pub around the corner. That Bloom went around. An 8-day license for my new premises. You know, you have a license for 6 or 7 days, including or not including Sunday. And 8 days is a bit much. It's a kind of extended license. You remember me, Sir Leo, when you were in number 7. Old times. I'm sending around a dozen of stout for the missus, so sending a kind of Christmas gratification. Bloom, coldly. You have the advantage of me. Lady Bloom accepts no presents. Crofton, we met him in silence, in Cyclops. This is indeed a festivity. Bloom solemnly, and you notice all these stage directions. Eh? Solemnly, you call it a festivity. I call it a sacrament. Then Alexander Keyes, that's his client with the advertisement about the House of Keyes. When will we have our own House of Keyes? So it's not only his client asking about the ad about the House of Keys. It is also, as you may have forgotten long ago, the House of Keys is also the autonomous parliament on the Isle of Man, which they had on the Isle of Man, but not the Irish. Yeah, and then Bloom makes a political speech. Another one.
Bloom. I stand for the reform of municipal morals and the plain Ten Commandments, new worlds for old, union of all, Jew, Muslim and Gentile, 3 acres and a cow for all children of nature, saloon motor hearses, compulsory manual labor for all parks open to the public day and night, electric disc rubbers, tuberculosis, lunacy, war and mendicancy must now cease. General amnesty, weekly carnival with mask license, bonuses for all, Esperanto, the universal brotherhood. No more patriotism of bar sponges and dropsical impostors. Free money, free love, and a free lay church in a free lay state. Oh, Madden Burke, free fox in a free hen roost. Davy Byrne, yawning. Bloom, mixed races and mixed marriage. Lenehan, what about mixed bathing?
Bloom explains to those near him his schemes for social regeneration. All agree with him. The keeper of the Kildare Street Museum appears dragging a lorry on which are the shaking statues of several naked goddesses, Venus Callipyge, Venus Pandemus, Venus Metempsychosis, and plaster figures also naked, representing the new nine muses, commerce, operatic music, amour, publicity, manufacture, liberty of speech, plural voting, gastronomy, private hygiene, seaside concert entertainments, painless obstetrics, and astronomy for the people. Father Farley,
he is an Episcopalian, an agnostic, an anythingarian, seeking to overthrow our holy faith.
Mrs. Reardon tears up her will. I'm disappointed in you. You're a bad man. Mother Brogan removes her boot to throw it at Bloom.
You beast. You abominable person.
Nosey Flynn.
Give us a tune, Bloom. One of the old sweet songs.
Bloom with rollicking humour.
I vowed that I never would leave her. She turned out a cruel deceiver. With my tooraloom, 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 tooraloom.
Hoppy Holohan.
Good old Bloom. There's nobody like him after all.
Paddy Leonard.
Stay Irish, man.
Bloom. What railway opera is like a tramline in Gibraltar? The Rose of Castile. Laughter. Lenehan.
Plagiarist. Down with Bloom.
The Veiled Sibyl. Enthusiastically. I'm a Bloomite and I glory in it. I believe in him in spite of all. I'd give my life for him. The funniest man on earth. Bloom winks at the bystanders. I bet she's a bonny lassie. Theodore Purefoy, in fishing cap and oilskin jacket.
He employs a mechanical device to frustrate the sacred ends of nature.
The Veiled Sibyl stabs herself.
My hero God.
She dies. Many most attractive and enthusiastic women also commit suicide by stabbing, drowning, drinking prussic acid, aconite, arsenic, opening their veins, refusing food, casting themselves under steamrollers from the top of Nelson's Pillar into the great vat of Guinness's brewery, asphyxiating themselves by placing their heads in gas ovens, hanging themselves in stylish garters, leaping from windows of different stories.
So there's rapid motion then. This political program. I stand for the reform of municipal morals and the plain Ten Commandments. New worlds for old. Union of all Jew, Muslim and Gentile. And that reminds me, and I'm sure some of us, of Lessing's Nathan der Weise, that is just about these three religions. That's 3 acres and a cow for all children of nature. That was a kind of political demand that Irish peasants should have. 3 acres and a cow, that would be enough to live on. Saloon motor hearses. He suggested already on the way to the funeral that there should be wagons to the cattle market and also to the cemetery. Saloon motor hearses. Compulsory manual labor for all. All parks open to the public day and night. That was a real concern because many of these city parks were private possession and you were not allowed to enter them, certainly not at night. Electric dish scrubbers, that's some kind of technical advance. And then, and we always agree, tuberculosis, lunacy, war, and mendicancy must now cease. I think it's easy to agree. General amnesty, weekly carnival. By the way, today is the opening of carnival. I realized that. With masked license, so you would still have some outlet. Bonuses for all. Esperanto, the universal brotherhood. A kind of, if we all got on with each other, would be much nicer. No more patriotism or boss bungers, the Cyclops chapter, and dropsical imposters. Free money, free love, and the free lay church in a free lay state. This was very much the program of Garibaldi in Italy, because Italy just formed itself as a nation in the mid-century, and free lay church and free love, of course, wouldn't be accepted in any case. Martin Burke says, free fox in a free hen roost because the fox would kill all the hens. Then Davy Byrne, that is the pub keeper in the 8th chapter, he yawns as he did then yawn. This is it. And Bloom, mixed races and mixed marriage. Now, mixed marriage was very much frowned upon. Catholics just wasn't supposed to marry across the lines. Lenehan, what about mixed bathing? And mixed bathing, as far as I know, was just about possible. In the old times, it was strictly mixed. And you will still see, as I did, in England, often where you have bath for men, for women, separate kind of thing. And it was a very frivolous thing, of course. Bloom explains to those near him his schemes for social regeneration. All agree with him. The keeper of the Kildare Street Museum appears, dragging a lorry on which all the shaking statues of several naked goddesses. Bloom, as you know, wanted to look at the backside of goddesses. And they're here. Venus, Callipyge, Venus, Aphrodite, the most beautiful woman. Callipyge, that's a famous Aphrodite, that means of the beautiful buttocks. Venus Callipyge is somewhere. Then Venus, Pandemos, that would be for all the people. Pandemic could be something positive too, for all the people. Venus, Metempsychosis, just and plaster figures. Also naked, representing the new nine muses. You know, in classical antiquity, there are nine muses for theatre, for dancing, for history, and all of that. But now they're replaced, they're updated to modern times. Commerce, operatic music, amour, publicity, manufacture, liberty of speech, plural voting, gastronomy, private hygiene, seaside concert entertainments, painless obstetrics, and astronomy for the people. So these would all be modern muses. And you will see it says the nine muses, but if you count them, they're about 11 or 12. So they instantly get out of focus. So, the main point, everything is changing all the time. Father Farley, about whom we know very little, leads now the opposition. He is an Episcopalian. That is a religion, which of course is not an agnostic. An anything-arian. That was a term around. Seeking to overthrow our holy faith. Mrs. Reardon, she's the pious woman in the portrait. She tears up her will because we heard early they lived in the same hotel and Bloom was nice to the old lady because he hoped she would leave some money for him in her testament. But here she tears up her will. And since he's not the Catholic, she said, "I've disappointed you, you bad man." Mother Grogan is a kind of personification of an old woman that Mulligan joked about, removes her boot to throw it at Bloom. You know, throwing boots is a sign of disgrace. "You beast, you abominable person." Nosey Flynn, the one he saw in Davy Byrne's, gives a tune, Bloom, one of the old sweet songs. Love's Old Sweet Song is a song that his wife and Boylan rehearsed together. But here is one of the old sweet songs, one of the musical songs. And Bloom, with rollicking humour, about that I never would leave her, she turned out a cruel diseaser, with my tour-room, 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 tour-room. This tour-room is often in refrain, and this is, in fact, a music hall song. Then Hoppy Holohan, good old Bloom, there's nobody like him after all. Here there's now a mixed reception. Paddy Leonard, stage Irishman. A stage Irishman, as you can imagine, is a kind of the cliched form who does the kind of thing Irish are supposed to do. There are stage Irish, you know, they're stage Americans, they're stage Swiss and all of that. And of course, the whole chapter is one of stage performances, just for it. Now, Bloom asked the riddle. What railway opera is like a tram line in Gibraltar? And remember, in the seventh chapter, Lenin asked the riddle, what railway line, what opera is like a railway line? And that was the Rose of Cast Steel, Rose of Cast Steel. So this also resurfaces. But then he brings up Lenin, who started with a riddle, plagiarist, down with Bloom. But then we have, in his favor again, you see it's mixed now, we have a veiled Sibyl. Sibyls in Roman history. Enthusiastically, I am a Bloomite. So there are Bloomites. I glory in it. I believe in him in spite of all. I give my life for him, the funniest man on earth. Bloom winks at the bystanders. I bet she's a bonny lassie. That is a kind of Scots endearment, a bonny lassie. Then Theophore Purefoy, he is the one, the father of the youngest baby in the hospital that we saw, Theodore Purefoy. In fishing cap and oilskin jacket. He employs a mechanical device to frustrate the sacred ends of nature. There are already quite a few things in circulation to prevent pregnancy. Mechanical devices of sort. Of course, they were forbidden. Then the veiled Sibyl stabs herself. My hero god. She dies. And then you have instantly, there's a lot of action here, you realize that, and it has no effect whatsoever. Many most attractive and enthusiastic women also commit suicide. And then you get the whole list of how you can do it. By stabbing, drowning, drinking prussic acid, aconite, that's the poison his father took. Arsenic, another famous poison. Opening their veins, refusing food, casting themselves on the steamrollers from the top of Nelson's pillar into the great vat of Guinness's brewery, asphyxiating themselves by placing their heads in gas ovens, hanging themselves in stylish garters, leaping from windows of different stories. You see, there's instantly a list of all possible forms that obviously cannot take place at the same time. Oh yeah, I think now we have the opposition again.
Alexander J. Dowie, violently.
Fellow Christians and anti-Bloomites, the man called Bloom is from the roots of hell, a disgrace to Christian man, a fiendish libertine from his earliest years. This stinking goat of Mendez gave precocious signs of infantile debauchery, recalling the cities of the plain with a dissolute grandam. This vile hypocrite, bronzed with infamy, is the white bull mentioned in the apocalypse, a worshipper of the scarlet woman. Intrigue is the very breath of his nostrils. The steak, faggots, and the cauldron of boiling oil are for him. Caliban!
The mob.
Lynch him! Roast him! He's as bad as Parnell was! Mr. Fox!
Mother Grogan throws her boot at Bloom. Several shopkeepers from Upper and Lower Dorset Street throw objects of little or no commercial value. Ham bones, condensed milk tins, unsaleable cabbage, stale bread, sheep's tails, odd pieces of fat. Bloom, excitedly,
this is midsummer madness, some ghastly joke again. By heaven, I am guiltless as the unsunned snow. It was my brother Henry. He is my double. He lives in No. 2 Dolphin's Barn. Slander, the viper, has wrongfully accused me.
Fellow countrymen, scale in board butter, kushtagon couple.
I call on my old friend, Dr. Malachi Mulligan, sex specialist, to give medical testimony on my behalf.
Dr. Mulligan, in motor jerkin, green motor goggles on his brow.
Dr. Bloom is bisexually abnormal. He has recently escaped from Dr. Eustace's private asylum for demented gentlemen. Born out of bedlock, hereditary epilepsy is present, the consequence of unbridled lust. Traces of elephantiasis have been discovered among his ascendants. There are marked symptoms of chronic exhibitionism. Ambidexterity is also latent. He is prematurely bald from self-abuse, perversely idealistic in consequence, a reformed rake, and has metal teeth. In consequence of a family complex, he has temporarily lost his memory, and I believe him to be more sinned against than sinning. I have made a pervaginal examination, and after application of the acid test to 5,427 anal, axillary, pectoral, and pubic hairs, I declare him to be virgo intacta.
Bloom holds his high-grade hat over his genital organs. Dr. Madden.
Hypospadia is also marked. In the interest of coming generations, I suggest that the parts affected should be preserved in spirits of wine in the National Teratological Museum.
Dr. Crothers, I have examined the patient's urine. It is albuminoid. Salivation is insufficient. The patellar reflex intermittent.
Dr. Punch Costello, the fetor judaicus is most perceptible. Dr. Dixon reads a bill of health.
Professor Bloom is a finished example of the new womanly man. His moral nature is simple and lovable. Many have found him a dear man, a dear person. He is a rather quaint fellow on the whole, coy, though not feeble-minded in the medical sense. He has written a really beautiful letter, a poem in itself, to the court missionary of the Reformed Priests Protection Society, which clears up everything. He is practically a total abstainer, and I can affirm that he sleeps on a straw litter and eats the most Spartan food, cold dried grocer's peas. He wears a hair shirt winter and summer and scourges himself every Saturday. He was, I understand, at one time, a first-class misdemeanant in Glencree Reformatory. Another report states that he was a very posthumous child. I appeal for clemency in the name of the most sacred word our vocal organs have ever been called upon to speak. He is about to have a baby.
General commotion and compassion. Women faint. A wealthy American makes a street collection for Bloom. Gold and silver coins, bank checks, banknotes, jewels, treasury bonds, maturing bills of exchange, IOUs, wedding rings, watch chains, lockets, necklaces, and bracelets are rapidly collected. Bloom, oh, I so want to be a mother.
So things come obviously to a climax. Alexander G. Dowie is the American evangelist whose bill, Elijah is Coming, Bloom picked up earlier on. There was such a person who was touring England at the time, and here they speak with an American accent, violently. Fellow Christians and anti-Bloomites. So you have Bloomites and anti-Bloomites. The man called Bloom is from the roots of hell, a disgrace to Christian men, a fiendish libertine from his earliest years, the stinking goat of Menders. And the stinking goat of Menders, I have it somewhere, is an animal in Egyptian myth. So it's something Egyptian religion then, gave precocious signs of infantile debauchery, recalling the cities of the plain. The cities of the plain are Sodom and Gomorrah that were destroyed because of the perversity of the citizen, with a dissolute grand dame, a female animal. This vile hypocrite, bronzed with infamy, is the white bull mentioned in the Apocalypse. In the Apocalypse, the last book of the Bible, and a very strange one, in many ways similar to this chapter, there you have a white bull. A worship of the Scarlet Woman. The Scarlet Woman is a... The Protestants call the Catholics the Scarlet Woman. So these are the religious insults that were passed. Worship of the Scarlet Woman. Scarlet, of course, is the color of adultery. Remember the Scarlet Letter. Intrigue is the very breath of his nostrils. The steak faggot and the cauldron of boiling oil are for him. Boiling of coal oil would be to burn witches also. And then Caliban is a sort of subhuman being then, was at the time. So now the mob is against him. Lynch him. Roast him. He's as bad as Parnell was. Parnell was discovered to have an adulterous affair. Mr. Fox. And Parnell sometimes went under the name of Fox, Mr. Fox. So that's another disguise. And of course, it's an animal. And here now we have Bloom back in the courtroom one more time. Mother Grogan throws her boot at Bloom again. Several shopkeepers from Upper and Lower Dorset Street, that is just round the corner from Eccles Street, throw objects of little or no commercial value. And then again, it's a little list. Ham bones, condensed milk tins, unsaleable cabbage. That was to throw cabbage at somebody was customary. Stale bread, sheep's tails, odd pieces of fat. So he's pelted with objects. And now Bloom, again, is in court and appeals excitedly. This is Midsummer Madness. And of course, that calls up Midsummer Night's Dream, that is also full of strange things with arse's ears and all kinds of things. So Midsummer Night. Madness. Also a play of some strange developments. Some ghastly joke again. By heaven, I am as guiltless as the unsung snow. It was my brother Henry. It wasn't me. Henry Flower, Bloom's pseudonym in the correspondence. He is my double. He lives in number 2 Dolphin's Barn. That is where Martha Clifford lives. Slander, the viper, and again you have animals, snakes, slander, viper, has wrongfully accused me. To be wrongfully accused has also been a subject before. Fellow countrymen, and then he goes into some Irish, which seems to be a kind of proverb that doesn't make sense. A tail in the top of a stick is a horse's coat. Something that has no, he happens to have picked this up. Kappa is a horse. I call on my old friend, Dr. Mullicky Mulligan, who, of course, Mulligan was a medical student, certainly not a friend of Bloom's, not yet a full doctor. Sex specialist, to give medical testimony on my behalf. And now Bloom is defended by medical doctors. He cannot help it. It's not his fault. Dr. Mulligan. In motor jerking, Mulligan had a kind of car early on, and you were jerking and motor goggles to break the eyes on his brow. And then he says, Dr. Bloom is bisexually abnormal. He has recently escaped from Dr. Eustace's private asylum. There was such a thing, a lunatic asylum. And look at the beautiful Victorian way to phrase it. A private asylum for demented gentlemen. Born out of bedlock, you can be born out of wedlock, and we're not married, and he's out of bedlock. Hereditary, epilepsy is present, so he's epileptic. In other words, he can't help it. The consequence of unbridled lust. Traces of elephantiasis have been discovered among his descendants. Elephantiasis is a swelling like an elephant of certain organs. So You could describe the whole chapter as something like that, where everything is exaggerated and taken to its extremes, have been discovered among his symptoms. The marked symptoms of chronic exhibitionism. We haven't seen that yet. And then ambidexterity is also latent. There's nothing wrong with ambidexterity. In fact, it's an advantage. You're as good with your left hand as with your right hand, but it sounds very technical. He is prematurely bald from self-abuse. And that was another, when you do the masturbation, makes you bald. Perversely idealistic, in consequence, a reformed rake and has metal teeth. In consequence of family complex, he has temporarily lost his memory, and I believe him to be more sinned against than sinning. That is a well-known quotation, I think, from Macbeth, more sinned against than sinning. Then I have made a perivaginal examination, and after application of the acid test to 5, 4, and 26 anal, axillary, pectoral, and pubic hairs, kind of hair test, I declare him to be virgo intacta, that is an untouched virgin. And you see Bloom's female traits that we always saw a little bit here now come to a climax. You can't be much more female than that. And what at first in Bloom's behavior, a kind of understanding and empathy for woman, is now goes all the way. I declare this doctor. Bloom holds his high-grade hat over his genital organs. Obviously, he's naked in court, covering his... Then Dr. Madden, we've seen him in the previous chapter. Hypsospadia is also marked. What is hypsospadia? A malformation of the male genital tract. So it is some disease. It's also marked. In the interest of coming generations, I suggest that the parts affected should be preserved in spirits of wine in the National Teratological Museum. And you know, they had all things they were displaying in medical museums, in spiritus and something like that. Don't hear of that nowadays so much. Then Dr. Crothers, also a medical student from the earlier chapter. I have examined the patient's urine. It is albuminoid. Salivation is insufficient. The patellar reflex, I think that's when they hit your knees, intermittent. So Bloom is not quite. So, Dr. Punch Costolo. The fetoeudaicus is most perceptible. We've heard that before. That's a technical term for the Jewish odor, the Jewish smell. And that was something that was actually said that the Jews smell in their own way. And as I often say, of course, we all smell in our own different way, that only the others, of course, notice. So this one came up in the... in the Cyclops chapter, where Bloom then was called Blumenduft. And I remember the technical term that occurred, for example, in Schopenhauer. So it was around. Nowadays, of course, you wouldn't say that. Then Dr. Dixon, the man in the hospital, the maternity hospital, reads a bill of health. Professor Bloom, he has been called Dr. Bloom and here Professor Bloom. That's always in defense, you make the accused more important than he is. He's a finished example of the new womanly man. And that was at the time quite in fashion. They realized that, of course, we are not all out, male or female, there are mixed forms and all of that. And I remember there was one psychologist in the old times who said men suffer, women suffer from penis envy, Freud. Men suffer from birth envy, they can't give birth. So that was very much in the air. And if I'm right, it's very much discussed right now again. His moral nature is simple and lovable. Many have found him a dear man, a dear person. He's a rather quaint fellow on the whole, coy, though not feeble-minded in the medical sense. He has written a really beautiful letter, a poem in itself, to the court missionary. And I suspect, but couldn't prove, that this is an echo of the trials of Oscar Wilde that took place in about 1895, where Oscar Wilde first sued and then was accused of homosexuality, and they brought all kinds of love letters to him. And at one point he said, that's not a love letter, that's a beautiful love poem. And then the council read it out and said, is this a beautiful poem? And Oscar Wilde said, not the way you read it, Your Honor. So these things are very famous. And I think they're a little bit in the background. He's written a letter to the court missionary of, and there's a nice institution, the Reform Priests Protection Society, whatever that was, I don't think it existed, which clears up everything. Reminds you of all kinds of charges leveled against the church nowadays. He is practically a total abstainer, and I can affirm that he sleeps on a straw litter and eats the most Spartan food, cold white grocer's peas. So in other words, he's castigating himself like a saint. He wears a hair shirt. That's what you do to punish yourself. And summer and scourges himself every Saturday. He was, I understand, at one time, a first-class misdemeanor in Glentry before poverty. This is a reformity. A first-class misdemeanor is a nice expression. Another report states that he was a very posthumous child. That is, when he was born, when his father was already dead. I appeal for the clemency in the name of the most sacred word our vocal ordinance has ever been called upon to speak. He is about to have a baby. That's as far as you can go with that. And as I said, psychologically, these things were discussed quite a bit at the time. There was Freud and all kinds of other psychologists. Then another stage direction, general commotion and compassion. Women faint. A wealthy American makes a street collection for Bloom. Gold and silver coins, bank checks, bank notes, jewels, treasury bonds, maturing bills of exchange, IOUs, wedding rings, watch chains, lockets, necklaces and bracelets are rapidly collected. And then Bloom, oh, I so want to be a mother. And here all Bloom's feminist traits come to a climax.
Mrs. Thornton, in Nurse Tender's gown, embrace me tight, dear. You'll be soon over it. Tight, dear. Bloom embraces her tightly and bears 8 male yellow and white children. They appear on a red-carpeted staircase adorned with expensive plants. All are handsome, with valuable metallic faces, well-made, respectably dressed, and well-conducted, speaking 5 modern languages fluently, and interested in various arts and sciences. Each has his name printed in legible letters on his shirt front. Nazidoro, Goldfinger, Chrysostomos, Manidore, Silver Smile, Silver Selva, Bifargent, Panagiros. They are immediately appointed to positions of high public trust
in several different countries as managing directors of banks, traffic managers of railways, chairman of limited liability companies, vice chairman of hotel syndicates. A voice.
Bloom, are you the Messiah, Ben Joseph or Ben David?
Bloom, darkly, you have said it. Brother Buzz,
then perform a miracle.
Bantam Lions,
prophesy who will win the St. Ledger.
Bloom walks on a net, covers his left eye with his left ear, passes through several walls, climbs Nelson's pillar, hangs from the top ledge by his eyelids, eats 12 dozen oysters, shells included, heals several sufferers from King's Evil, contracts his face so as to resemble many historical personages, Lord Beaconsfield, Lord Byron, Wat Tyler, Moses of Egypt, Moses Maimonides, Moses Mendelssohn, Henry Irving, Rip Van Winkle, Kossuth, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Baron Leopold Rothschild, Robinson Crusoe, Sherlock Holmes, Pasteur, turns each foot simultaneously in different directions, bids the tide turn back, eclipses the sun by extending his little finger. Brini, papal nuncio, in papal zouave's uniform, steel cuirasses as breastplate, arm plates, thigh plates, leg plates, large profane moustaches and brown paper mitre.
Leopoldi autem generatio. Moses begat Noah, and Noah begat Enoch, and Enoch begat O'Halloran, and O'Halloran begat Guggenheim, and Guggenheim begat Agendath, and Agendath begat Netaim, and Netaim begat Lahersh, and Lahersh begat Jezerum, and Jezerum begat McKay, and McKay begat Ostolopsky, and Ostolopsky begat Smerdos, and Smerdos begat Weiss, and Weiss begat Schwartz, and Schwartz begat Adrianopoli, and Adrianopoli begat Aranjuez, and Aranjuez begat Louis Lawson, and Louis Lawson begat Ichabodonosor, and Ichabodonosor begat O'Donnell Magnus, and O'Donnell Magnus begat Crispbaum, and Crispbaum begat Ben Maimon, and Ben Maimon begat Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty Rhodes begat Ben Amor, and Ben Amor begat Joan Smith, and Joan Smith begat Savonyanovich, and Savonyanovich begat Jasper Stone, and Jasper Stone begat Vontiniem, and Vontiniem begat Zombatali, and Zombatali begat Virag, and Virag begat Bloom, et vocabita nomen eos Emmanuel.
A dead hand writes on the wall, Bloom is a cod, a crab in bushranger's kit.
What did you do in the cattle creek behind Kilbarrick?
A female infant shakes a rattle.
And under Ballybock Bridge.
A holly bush and in the Devil's Glen. Bloom blushes furiously all over from front to nates, three tears falling from his left eye. Spare my past. The Irish evicted tenants, in bodycoats, knee breeches, with Donnybrook fair shillelaghs.
Jambock him.
Bloom, with ass's ears, seats himself in the pillory, with crossed arms, his feet protruding. He whistles Don Giovanni at Chen Arteco. Artane orphans joining hands caper round him. Girls of the prison gate mission joining hands caper round in the opposite direction. The Artane orphans.
You hig, you hog, you dirty dog, you think the ladies love ya.
The prison gate girls.
If you see K, tell him he may. See you in T, tell him from me.
Mrs. Thornton, the midwife, in Nurse Tender's gown, embraced me tightly. You'll be soon over it, tight dear. And now in the next stage direction, just imagine what you could do on a stage with this. There will be, I'm quite sure, in the future, films or computer thing that can deal with that, but obviously it is not the play that you could put on a stage. Bloom embraces her tightly and bears 8 male yellow and white children. Yellow and white, I think, are the colors of the Vatican. And of course, for a Jew, it's important to have male offspring. And now there's even 8 of them. They appear on a red carpeted staircase adorned with expensive plants that is like some of these musicals or a thing where women come down the staircase with plants. All are handsome, with valuable metallic faces. I don't know why metallic. Well made, respectably dressed, and well conducted, speaking 5 modern languages fluently. and interest in various arts and science, so they develop quite well. Each has his name printed in legible letters on his shirt front. Nasodoro, that means the golden nose, gold finger, Chrysostomus, that we heard from the very beginning, golden mouth, and then main dorée is the same thing in French, and then you have silver smile, silver, vif argent is the French fourth thing, and of course it means mercury. Mercury, and panargyros is all silver, that is Latin. So there are there's gold and silver, precious metals and things like that. They are immediately appointed to position of high public trust in several different countries as managing directors of banks, traffic managers, railway chairman of the liability companies, vice chairman of hotel syndicates. So there's quite a condensation of time and space in one thing. And of course, we have long given up any notion of reality. A voice. Bloom, are you the Messiah, Ben Joseph or Ben David? And Bloom, darkly, you have said it. This is the trial by Pontius Pilate to ask Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, you have said it. So it's another echo. Brother Buzz, then perform a miracle. You have to. Phantom Lion says, prophecy whom will the Saint Leger? That's a famous race, if you can. But that's a miracle if you can predict that. Bloom walks on a net, covers his left eye with his left ear, passes through several walls, climbs Nelson's pillar, hangs from the top ledge by his eyelids, eats 12 dozen oysters. You know, oysters are supposed to have an effect on your sexual potency. So to eat 12 dozen oysters would be quite a lot, shells included. Heals several sufferers from King's evil, that happened in the Bible, contracts his face so as to resemble many historical personages, Lord Beaconsfield, Lord Byron, Lord Tyler, Moses of Egypt, Moses Maimonides, Moses Mendelssohn, Henry Irving, Rip Van Winkle, Kossuth, that is a Hungarian poet, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Baron Leopold Rothschild, Robinson Crusoe, Sherlock Holmes, Pasteur, turns each foot simultaneously in different directions. So there are all kinds of impersonations. It's almost like a kind of a thumbnail of the whole book where many roles turn up. Turns each foot simultaneously in different directions, bids the tide turn back. I think there was a King Canute who did that. Eclipses the sun by extending his little finger. Well, you hold your finger, you eclipse the sun. It's also an Old Testament miracle. Then you have Breeny, Mr. Breen, the husband of the Mrs. Breen, who got that postcard. He's originally Italian, and he is now papal nuncio. And in papal dress, uniform, steel cuirasses and breastplate, armplate, tieplate, leg plates, large profane moustaches, and brown paper, mitre. Bishops have mitre, but made of gold and silver, not paper. And here now, this is an imitation of the Bible in the New Testament. One of them, or two of them, I forget, begin with by giving Jesus Christ's pedigree, how he was descended. And you know, in the Old Testament, no, it says he begat. And so this is that. In the Gospels, honestly, and I don't quite know what theology officially says. It is a bit pointless down the male line, because the father of Jesus was not the human male, but was the Holy Ghost. So the whole patrilineal thing is a little bit old. But that's you find that in one of the Gospels, in principle. It's a long list of strange names that I can't account for. But recently, a Hungarian scholar, who was a scholar at the foundation, has written a book where she explains many things. But I've forgotten it. I will have to look it up. Moses begat Noah. Now, that's not true according to the Bible. Moses begat Noah. Noah comes through. And Noah begat Enoch. Now there's a character, Enoch. And obviously that he's meant, but a eunuch, somebody who is gelded, who cannot have any children, doesn't help much in the line of fathers. And eunuch began O'Halloran, an Irishman. O'Halloran begat Guggenheim, and these are Swiss-American, there's a Jewish family. And Guggenheim begat Agendath, and Agendath begat Netaim, and that is the Jewish company, planters' company, called Agendath Netaim. So these are not persons. And Netaim began the Hirsch, I think that was a rich Jewishman. And Hirsch begat Jezreelim. That sounds like something in the Old Testament. And Jezreelim began Mackay, and Mackay begat Ostrolopsky, somebody Slavonic, and Ostrolopsky begat Smerdos, and Smerdos begat Weiss, and Weiss begat Schwartz, and Schwartz begat Adrianopoli, a place, and Adrianopoli begat Aranjuez, and that is a Spanish city that I remember from Schiller, and Aranjuez begat Louis Lawson, and Louis Lawson begat Ichabod-Nosor, that's like some of these kings in the Old Testament, and Ichabod-Nosor begat O'Donnell Magnus, and O'Donnell Magnus begat Crisbaum, and Crisbaum begat Ben-Maimon, and Ben-Maimon, and there's a strong Semitic element here, begat Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty Rhodes begat Ben-Amor, and Ben-Amor begat Joe Smith, and Joe Smith begat Savorganovich, and Savorganovich begat Jasper Stone, and Jasper Stone begat Werther Uniem, and Werther Uniem begat Szombathely, that is the city in Hungary where Bloom comes from, Szombathely, and Szombathely begat Virag, and Virag begat Bloom. And then in Latin, as in the Bible, says, et vocabitur nomen eius Emmanuel, and his name is Emmanuel. So this is a kind of weird, strange thing that has all kinds of secrets, and not everything is solved. But you can see it's just chaotic, and we don't have anything else. Now Bloom is under fire, is accused. A dead hand, right? Bloom is a cord. Now, a cording is to make jokes, not chisel, but the cord is also a fish. Crab. In a bush, ranger's squid. What did you do in the cattle creep behind Kilbarrack? Now, all kinds of questions are, Bloom must have misbehaved somehow. I don't quite know, masturbation or whatever it is. So this is now said to him. A female infant shakes a rattle, and on the Ballyboch Bridge, a holly bush, and in the Devil's Glen. These are all places around Dublin. Bloom blushes furiously all over from front to nape, front to back. Three tears falling from his left eye, as I said, many reference to left. Spare my past. Then the Irish evicted tenants, and that's an important part of the Irish history in the 19th century. The tenants had to pay the rent, and they were often very poor, and if they couldn't pay the rent, They were evicted. They were thrown out of their holdings and left to themselves. So the evicted tenants was a very important issue. There were all kinds of attempts to help them by Parnell and others. In body coats, knee breeches, with a Donnybrook Fair shillelagh. Donnybrook Fair was an occasion in Donnybrook, now a suburb, and they were known for hitting each other with a shillelagh, this kind of Irish cudgel or clout. Shambokin, and a shambok, wait a moment, I have to make sure. There's a hole. Shambok is the leather whip in South Africa that you whipped the slaves with, shambokin. Bloom with arse's ears, and arse's ears, of course, take you back to either the Midsummer Night's Dream or back to antiquity where King Midas had arse's ears. So there's a long tradition of that. We're going to change into an animal. Seats himself in the pillory, you know what the pillory, when you're for public exposure, with crossed arms, feet protruding. He whistles Don Giovanni a tenor deco. Don Giovanni, I invite you to your meal with you. Then the Artane orphans, they were in the school Artane, joining hands, caper round him. To caper is to jump around like a goat. The girls of the Prussian mission, gate mission, joining hands, caper round in the opposite direction. So here he's publicly exposed and they dance around him. The Artane orphans said, "You hick, you hog, you dirty dog, you think the ladies love you." And again, hick, hog, dog, all of this is because in Homer, the men were changed into swine. The prison gate girls, they sing, "If you see Kay, tell him he may. See you in teeth, tell him from me." What is that? If you see Kay, tell him he may. See you in teeth. Tell him from me. I invite you to look a little bit like that, and you may certainly hit upon it. As soon as you realize that line 1 and 3 are not words, but letters. And once you know this, you can see it is the famous, unspeakable at the time, 4-letter words. You can spell them out for yourself. So they're in this case, they're still a bit hidden. But these were the taboo words of the time. So you can spell them out yourself.
Hornblower in ephod and hunting cap announces, "And he shall carry the sins of the people to Azazel, the spirit which is in the wilderness, and to Lilith, the night hag, and they shall stone him and defile him, yea, all from Agendath the time, and from Mizraim, the land of Ham."
All the people cast soft pantomime stones at Bloom. Many bona fide travellers and ownerless dogs come near him and defile him. Mastiansky and Citron approaching gabardines, wearing long earlocks. They wag their beards at Bloom. Mastiansky and Citron,
"Belial, Limeline of Istria, the false messiah, Abulafia."
George S. Messias, Bloom's tailor, appears, a tailor's goose under his arm, presenting a bill. Messias, "To alteration, 1 pair of trousers, 11 shillings. Bloom rubs his hands cheerfully. "Just like old times, poor Bloom. Reuben J. Dodd, black-bearded Iscariot, bad shepherd, bearing on his shoulders the drowned corpse of his son, approaches the pillory. Reuben J. whispers hoarsely,
"The squeak is out. A split is gone for the flatties. Nip the first rattler."
The fire brigade, flap. Brother Buzz invests Bloom in a yellow habit with embroidery of painted flames and high-pointed hat. He places a bag of gunpowder around his neck and hands him over to the civil power, saying,
"Forgive him his trespasses."
Lieutenant Myers of the Dublin Fire Brigade, by general request, sets fire to Bloom. Lamentations. The citizen.
Thank heaven.
Bloom, in a seamless garment marked IHS, stands upright amid phoenix flames.
Weep not for me, O daughters of Erin.
He exhibits to Dublin reporters traces of burning. The daughters of Erin, in black garments with large prayer books and long lighted candles in their hands, kneel down and pray. The daughters of Erin.
Kidney of Bloom, pray for us. Flower of the Bath, pray for us. Mentor of Menton, pray for us. Canvasser for the free man, pray for us. Charitable Mason, pray for us. Wandering Soap, pray for us. Sweets of Sin, pray for us. Music without words, pray for us. Reprover of the citizen, pray for us. Friends of all frillies, pray for us. Midwife most merciful, pray for us. Potato preservative against plague and pestilence, pray for us.
A choir of 600 voices, conducted by Mr. Vincent O'Brien, sings the Alleluia chorus, accompanied on the organ by Joseph Glynn. Bloom becomes mute, shrunken, carbonized. Zoe.
Talk away till you're black in the face.
Yeah. Then Hornblower, he was the man who's guarding the entrance of Trinity, and they were in hunting costumes. In ephod, that's a garment in the Old Testament, and hunting cap, an ounces. And he shall carry the sins of the people to Azazel, the spirit which is in the wilderness, and to Lilith, the night hag. This is also Old Testament. I have to look this up. Azazel is dismissal, the scapegoat. There's a scapegoat. Yeah, Azazel. So this is from the Lilith. Lilith is a mysterious woman. The name Lilith, I think, means night. And she is a mysterious evil person. She's been called the first wife of Adam. She's also the head of all the abortions and things like that, the night hag. So she's a mysterious figure with bad connotations. There's a lot behind it. It occurs in the Bible. And they shall stone him and defile him. That would be an Old Testament stoning and defiling ye. All from, again, that Netaim, that is the planter's company again, and from Mizraim, the land of Ham. Mizraim, wait a moment. Mizraim is a name for Egypt. Oh. Yeah. The land of Ham. Ham is one of the sons of Noah. All the people cast soft pantomime stones at Bloom. It's a bit like the life of Brian. Many bona fide travelers and ownerless dogs come near him and defile him. Mastiansky and Citron, these are Bloom's old neighbors when he grew up. Mastiansky and Citron approach in gabardines, wearing long earlocks, you know, the Jewish outfit. They wag their beards at Bloom. Mastiansky and Citron. Belial, worthless. The sons of Belial are worthless, and they are they occur in the Old Testament. And at one time, he's a name for the devil, for Satan. Lem, line of Istria. There was a, of course, since the Messiah is awaited from, there were a lot of false people who pretended to be a Messiah. And this Lem, line of Istria was somebody who claimed he was the Messiah. And Abu Rafia also did the same. So these are the false the false messiahs. Then George Mesias. Mesias looks, but for one, like Messiah. But Mesias was the name of a tailor in Dublin, but who made Bloom's clothes, Bloom's suits. Jesus, the Bloom's tailor appears, the tailor's goose under his arm, presenting a bill. The tailor's goose is something the tailor needs to iron for. It's not the real goose. And he says, to alteration, one pair of trousers, 11 shillings. So that Bloom rubs his hand cheerfully, just like old times, poor Bloom. Then Hoon J. Dort, he is the moneylender that they saw in the morning, whom they consider a Jew, though the real Hoon J. Dort was not Jewish. I don't know if the Jewish knew that. Anyway, the Blackbeard Iscariot, bad shepherd, bearing on his shoulders the drowned corpse of his son, because the story is his son threw himself into the lake and was rescued, and he gave him very little money. That is in chapter 6. Approaches the pillory. Reuben J. whispers hoarsely, the squeak is out, a split is gone for the flatties, Nip the first rattler. And that is a slang thing that he says, the squeak is a criminal who is an informer. Split is slang for a police. A flat is a uniformed policeman. So this is the slang of criminals to have their own word for police and all of this. Then the fire brigade says, flat. Remember, we had it at the end of the last chapter. Brother Boss in West Bloom in a yellow habit with embroidery of painted flames and high pointed hats. There were times when Jews were forced to wear yellow clothes. He placed a bag of gunpowder under his neck and hands him over to the civil power, saying, forgive him his trespasses. Lieutenant Myers of the Dublin Fire Brigade, by general request, sets fire to Bloom, lamentation, so Bloom is burnt. The citizen says, thank heaven. And Bloom, in a seamless garment marked IHS, IHS are the letters on the back of priests on some occasion, the Bloom wanders about, and it's the abbreviation of Jesus, Jesus, stands upright amid phoenix flames. You know, the phoenix rises from the ashes after, I think, 500 years. So that means resurrection and all of that. And then he says, weep not for me, O daughters of Aaron. Now, in every Catholic church, you have the Stations of the Cross. That is what happened to Jesus. He was arrested. He was deprived of his clothes. He had to carry God. He falls for the first time and he's crucified. On the way, Jesus meets the daughters of Jerusalem. And they say, and he says to them, weep not for me, O daughters of Jerusalem, weep for yourselves. Now, in Ireland, there was a political organization. They were called the Daughters of Erin, a kind of nationalist female organization that is here. So, Bloom exhibits to Dublin reporters traces of Birmingham. The Daughters of Erin in black garments with large prayer books and long lighted candles in hand kneel down and pray. And that is what the Daughters of Erin pray. And that, of course, is an echo of the Litany of the Virgin Mary. Remember, we heard that from the nearby church in chapter 13. It said that Virgin Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, comfort us, afflicted, pray for us, and so on, pray for us. But that the Litany of the Virgin Mary. And here now it's adopted. And to see what they say. Kidney of Bloom, pray for us. Flowers of the Bath, pray for us. Mentors of Menton, pray for us. Canvasser for the Freeman, pray for us. Charitable Mason, pray for us. Wandering Soap, pray for us. Sweets of Sin, pray for us. Music Without Words, pray for us. Reprover of the Citizen, pray for us. Friends of All Frailes, pray for us. Midwife Most Merciful, pray for us. Potato preservatives are plague and pestilence, pray for us. Now, actually, we should recite this all together, as happens in church. And I now invite you to look at this again and see, and I think you may hit upon it yourself without my saying. Kidney of Bloom, flower of the Bath, mentor of Menton, canvasser for the freedom, charitable mason, wandering soap, sweets of sin, music without words, reprover of the citizen, friend of all thrillers, midwife most merciful, potato preservative, pray for us. And you, some of you will probably have noticed that these are the chapters that we have been reading with Bloom in them. In the first chapter, he buys and eats his kidney. In the second chapter, he's on the way to a bath. In the cemetery chapter, Menton is somebody present at the cemetery. Canvas of the Freeman, that's the seventh chapter where Bloom is working for the Freeman's Journal, Earless. Charitable Mason, that is the eighth chapter where Bloom passes the Freemasons' Hall and thinks of them. Wandering Soap, that is obviously the Wandering Rocks chapter. Sweets of Sin, that is when he picked up the book. Music Without Words is the Sirens. Reprover of the Citizen is Cyclops. And Friends of All Frillies, Frillies are underclothes. He saw Gertie McDowell's underclothes. And Midwife Most Merciful, that's the hospital scene. And the last one is the present one. So you see what this is, among other things. It's a kind of sketch of the book we are reading. So we are here on another level, that the book is in a way commenting on its own structure. That is one of these elements where that you have in certain chapters, where the book is aware of its own nature as something artificial, something put together. So that is, in a way, the best example of that thing of self-reflection, the book calls it. But basically, they are then a choir of 600 voices conducted by Mr. Vincent O'Brien sings the Alleluia chorus, accompanied on the organ by Joseph Glynn. Bloom becomes mute, shrunken, carbonized. And then Zoe, talk away until you're black in the face. And at this moment, you may well get a little bit of shock, because we have quite forgotten the origin of all this. When Zoe, the prostitute who wants business, says, make a stump speech of it. And he started with a stump speech that got so long that it kept us for 2 weeks. And in all this time that you read, she's there, and obviously no time has passed. She isn't there twiddling her fingers until we read that whole thing. So whatever we've read, it takes place in practically no time. Of course, authors can condense and extract time. The scene, the Messiah scene, was originally much shorter, and Joyce kept adding to it, and now it's a good example of the chapter it is. And now we're back in the streets with Zoe, and we have been for 20 odd pages, we have been all in fantasy, Bloom rising and Bloom's fall. I'm also coming to the end of my own voice here, and I think this is a good place to stop. And as I say, I don't quite know yet what will happen, but we will tell us, or you might call the foundation to see whether it's on. It won't be me, I'll be somewhere else it goes on. I hope you enjoyed that part so far. Now it gets very, very strange and things like that. We now get into the middle of the Dublin brothel district. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Thank you, bye.